Hello, everybody, and welcome to our open coaching call, our last one for the year, 2017. So, hey, everybody, let's get on. And it looks like we have Cock, and I'm going to make sure I say your name right. Hi. We haven't had you on a call before, so it's so nice to see you. I mean, we've seen you, but we haven't seen you. So very nice to meet you.
Hi, Dr. Marit. Looking forward to participating in more calls regularly from henceforth.
That's great. What time of day is it, though, for you? Is
this in the morning. Singapore is 13 hours ahead of Eastern time.
Yeah, so this. Oh, okay. So like 8:30 in the morning. Good.
Yeah, 9:30.
9:30 in the morning. Okay, so yeah. It's 7:30 here. So, okay, so you're about 14 hours difference from me. Probably 13 hours from the East Coast. Super. Yay. Great. All right. So welcome, everybody. I have a couple of people who have submitted stuff. Maria had some business questions, which I think will be interesting for everybody to hear because it has to do with a Facebook group. And then Farah has a eubiome, and I don't have a whole lot of experience on those eubiomes, so it's going to give us more opportunity to learn how that eubiome works. So we want to start with Maria since yours came in first. Or do you want to... Let me unmute.
Good. I'm good. Let's get it rolling.
All right. Yeah. So I'm going to share screen. So Maria apparently has purchased, and I'm real interested in this. It sounds like an interesting idea. Purchased a program that includes content to use with a Facebook group. So posts and all that. So tell us, I want to hear a little bit more about that. That's not the one. Let me see if I can find, where is it?
In your email.
I know, but
oh,
I
okay, sorry.
Put it in.
I can share my screen if that's easier with you.
No, because I have Farah's in there too. So let me just, did it close? Ooh. All right. Well, let me just open it again because it looks like what happened is my open.
Yeah, while you're doing that,
let me just share about it.
Yeah, well, I want to share something before that. So,
okay.
Last night, you know, I got this all of a sudden late at night for somebody signed up for an energy audit, and I'm like, I don't know this person, whatever, you know. So she showed up, which was good. Holy shit, I'm listening to this woman. So Mr. Google got me to her, which I kind of like that.
Yeah.
You know, and she's got Hashimoto's and she's got PCOS. She is over 400 pounds.
Ooh.
And I'm listening to all this stuff going on and I'm like, Maria, you got the support, you got the support, you got the support, the support, just be present. Just be present because this is like a huge thing, right? I mean, I'm like, and she's like, tried God knows who and everything, but not being consistent with anything,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And she gained 70, this is the kicker. She gained 70 pounds in a gluten-free diet. 70 yeah. pounds.
70.
And I said,
70.
70.
Okay.
And I said, well, and she was working with a doctor. So I'm like, well, I'm assuming this doctor, you know, if you're being supervised, you're not doing much sugar and packages. No, I wasn't doing any of that. Sugar wasn't allowed. And I'm like, holy shit. You know, I mean, I'm like, God. Anyway, we're talk. So, you know, she's like, by then, she's like, yes, I want to work with you.
Wow.
And I'm like, okay, that sounds good. You know, I didn't even talk about, I said, I would offer you my 1-year program, but that's not fundamentally all into the pieces yet, but I can put you in a 6 months and we have to extend if it isn't the right time. And I didn't even say the price. She's like, yeah, we're going to do this. And I said the price and all that, which I charged $300. It's $3,000. It's underpriced, but it's okay. Okay.
Yeah, she probably said, yeah, I'll take it.
Well, she's like, the husband doesn't work. She's the only provider. Husband is disability. So she's like, I got paid on Friday. And I said, well, we can cut this installment. But she's left like all pumped up. So Wednesday, going to talk a bit again. I said, I'll give you 2 days to close this and, you know, don't have to pay extra on this and that and that and that. But, you know, I think it went well. But I'll tell you this. Expect me on these freaking calls all the time. Okay.
Yep. Yep. And you're going to start by getting a detailed diet diary because I'm on a gluten-free diet or I'm on a paleo diet or I'm on a whatever kind of diet.
They have
no clue what it usually
is. I know. But one of the interesting things is she's like, one of the things that she has tried is nutritionists. Mm. And one wanted to put her into a weight loss pill. She's like, no. Two is the woman want her to eat more different kinds of vegetables, and a few other things. And she's like, well, I couldn't do this and that. So I didn't say much about it, right? So I started talking about mindset and this and that and that and that. And eventually I said, look, and there's multiple ways we can see this and you can see your progression, your health and all that. And I want you to homework start tonight. I want you to think your life, you know, 30, 40 years from now, all those things that she told me, right? She had told me all this. I had asked all those things, what she sees in a magic wand and all that. So I basically kind of said, if this is really important, you can eat more vegetables. You can cut certain things and you can replace with better things because they're all aligned to that life that you just described to me. So I said, it's right here, Michelle. It's right in your head. So anyway.
Not to scare her away. That's encouraging.
Yeah, you know, maybe that's what people haven't talked to her about it. I was very real, though. It's like, look, this is,
Maria,
I don't have all.
You were real?
I'm like, I don't have all the answers, but I do have great support, you know, and I can bring your case because I'm not going to have all the answers and I'm not going to know everything. And we're going to have to work on this together, but I need you to be present every time and try this different things.
Yeah.
And not show up with, I've tried this. And I said, what you tried in the past? I really don't care at this point on. It's like, we're going to start all the way from the beginning. So I don't know.
Good.
You know,
for you. Congratulations.
So, well, no, congratulations only on
after
Wednesday,
you get the check. Yeah.
After I get the first
the
payment.
Card. Yeah.
So this program, Changing Directions over here. So this came from a group that I'm in. And basically, it's pretty freaking nice. So it's also done by a personal trainer, and she focuses on getting looks like personal trainers to the next level by making their lives easier, by putting this pre-packaged things, okay? Mm-hmm. So I think it looks like it's her second year doing this that she did, and is every single day of the week. So she sends a detail. So Monday, like I said, is a challenge for the whole week, okay? So she puts the challenge. Tuesday, and this is all done, copy and paste.
Okay, you know, so how does that work, though? If it's copy-paste, are there 1,000 other fitness professionals who've bought them?
What I'm saying is copy and paste from that perspective that if I want to be a copy and paste, so be it. I'm not going to be doing a copy and paste because that's necessarily, you know, especially, you know, on the workout stuff, she's got like, okay, Tuesday, you know, engaging question. That's pretty cool. It's like an image, and she put questions in there. People to participate, to engage. Yeah. Very cool. It's just posting the damn thing and letting people participate, you know?
Right.
Wednesday is the recipe. So I think that my work is going to come more on that, you know, adjusting the recipes and all that.
Yeah.
Okay. But I kind of scan it through quickly. It's not bad. Okay. But I need to put more details. If she talks about, I don't know, beef, I got to say that it's going to be this and that and that and that, you know, whatever. And add my little spin to it.
Right.
And exactly. Then, yeah. And the healthy tip there, you know, I didn't spend too much time, but those are easy things. Okay. And then Friday is like workouts. I mean, it's freaking amazing. She's like, yeah. So she's got 52 weeks, right? Each document had 52 pictures for the Tuesday, you know, 52 blah, blah, blah for every day of the week. And what an amazing thing. And the workouts is like, okay, here's the workout. These are kind of, you know, okay, 5 rounds of this, that. And then what she does is she backs it up by putting how to do the workout. like images, right? Mm. So here's how you do a lunch. So I can do an extra post or whatever. Obviously it has her picture. So that's what I told you. I said, that will force me to do mine, right? Because yeah. I'm doing the videos now.
You're doing them now. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm starting the videos, but then we kind of say, you know what? The pictures are technically easier than the videos, you know, to do. But she's got, you know, 4 or 5 different pictures, whatever. And a few, she says how to do the movement and boom. So literally.
Yeah.
And you know how much that cost me?
How much?
Guess.
$100.
Yeah, $97.
It's a good deal. You can't.
And I've
even
been
if you only use a fraction of it, if you only use part of it and it gets you going and you change, it's worth it to have starting. I always call it story starters, right? You have the starting point. So it sounds great. So now it's the issue of how do you want to use it, right?
Right. So I got, so you know, we talked about it before on, I have this kind of membership site, you know, in my mind that it would have different things. So my thing would be more added value, you know, than this. I and correct me, I'm not here to say no or to inflict that I think that I'm just trying to be realistic. I think that just doing what she's doing is not enough for me to pay a membership.
No. You, I would say your best bang for that is going to be to create a free closed book, a closed group.
Yeah.
People are going to find.
Right.
They're going to say, can I be part of it? Like we have Unstoppable Health.
Yes.
They're going to find it and they'll go, oh, wow. And you're going to approve them or disapprove them. We mostly approve. But if I click somebody and I go, they've been on Facebook for a week and they look kind of shady and they have no friends, then I don't approve them, right? But most of the time you look at them, they're in other groups. They're in, you know, and so you approve them and that grows your following.
Yes. Like
what you want to do with this free Facebook group is use it periodically to promote paid programs. This thing is free. You can do Facebook challenges. I'm learning a little bit about that now, and I want to share with you guys once I figure it out. But a friend of mine does these Facebook challenges, like a 5-day Facebook challenge, a 5-day, you know, fitness, whatever. And every day you give them a little video, you give them something to do. And at the end of that 5 days, you offer them something that makes sense to flow from that to continue, which would be, you know, a 3-month program, you know, an online fitness thing, whatever it might be. Okay. So you use the group to generate, you build up the traffic there. We built up the group pretty quickly by doing a week long. It wasn't really what I called a challenge, but it was technically a challenge. It was like we had every day we'd go on a webinar jam and we had a little like 10 to 20 minute video and we gave them a little handout for what they would do that day. Like what kind of things. And then we offered a webinar at the end to pull it all together where we made an offer for our Spring into Vitality. Retreat. Hmm. So the same kind of thing you can do where you create these little, like every other month, you create one of these little challenges and it leads to something that you offer.
Okay. So monthly create like some kind of live challenge, maybe a weekly thing.
Well, every other monthly is too often.
Huh?
Monthly is probably too often, but every other month. Every other month or once a quarter.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Or once a quarter. Okay.
Yeah.
And okay. And you do like a week long kind of thing that you're saying, show up your face kind of, you know, come every day and say, hey, tonight we're going to talk about this and that, something like that.
Yeah. Or, I'll know more when I go through this stuff, some ideas. I want to think about how I want to do it, but it's basically you're giving them something to do every day. Like today is drinking water day, right?
Yeah.
We always have trouble. Let's look at your beverages. What beverages are you currently drinking? How can we replace that with the water? Here's the downside of the coffee. Here's the downside of the wine. Here's the upside of the, you know, making an elixir. I mean, you can have a beverage day, right? Have a workout day. You can have a go gluten-free for the day. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a bunch of different things that you could do based on the group. You'll get a feel for the group and what they
do
and what leads well to a program. So you may have something related to the different aspects of sugar if you want to move them into your Sweet Redemption program, right? And at the end of the week, you may find that some of these people, if they follow what you've given them, they've started to lose weight. They've started to have more energy and now they feel comfortable with you versus they got an email from you and they don't know you from a hole in the wall or you said book ad. They've gotten comfortable with you. They trust you. And then you make an offer for a program.
Okay. Yes.
I know someone who that's her entire business model now. Is she doing Facebook challenges to offer her programs?
Yeah. So, okay. So that sounds good. So the other thing is that, you know, what I was thinking is to start them implementing those things that I want for my membership and start testing in here, you know, so then I can at some point upgrade them to this whatever membership thing.
Exactly.
And maybe I can run a few serve if this is a good group, you know, and people are really engaged and all that kind of stuff. Then I can get information out of them and see what is truly important to them, what they really would like.
Surveys, Facebook. Yeah. Real easy to do surveys.
Right.
Yeah.
And even, yeah, use this survey that they have over there, right there. Would you like to know more about this? You know, because I have my thoughts about what this great membership thing, and even say, would they pay for it? You know, would you pay for, you know, for those things, you know?
Here's what I did when we were starting to do our online food class. I was doing food classes in person, and people kept saying, oh, I wanted you to do it online, live stream them. I didn't know anything about that. And finally I said, okay, let me look into this. So I just put it out. Number one question was, would you be interested if we did this over live stream? And what's the likelihood that you would pay, you know, and I gave three different price ranges, $10, $20, $25, $50, something like that. Mm-hmm. And I settled on the 25 because, you know, there were a few that said 10, there were a few that said 50, but the majority said, hey, it'd be worth 25 for me. So we offered 25. And then what we do is if they signed up in the early bird enrollment period, they got it for 19.
Yeah.
Video. So you can test people like that. You can say, are you willing to pay for this? And how much would you be willing? Would this be a crazy price to, you know, would this be a reasonable price to put out? You don't put things if you don't feel comfortable charging, you don't put it. Right. You don't put $5 because that's not going to be what you think it's worth.
No. I would give them options of ranges and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because, you know, here's the thing. There is work involved in this stuff, and people really take for granted. And, you know, work, it's time-consuming. It's just,
it's very time-consuming. But this piece would be your marketing. Whenever you do stuff on social media, it's marketing expense.
Right. So, you know, here's the other thing. So that sounds good. So you like that. That's number two over there. Okay, I know somebody who actually created this Facebook face. She sells stones and things like that, you know, and she created this group, and then she started doing Facebook ads to attract people to the group. Mm-hmm. And before we know, in like a few days, she had like 100 people in. Yep. And then obviously she's offering her stuff, so I'm thinking maybe I can do that.
Yeah, you can do Facebook ads. It's not that expensive to do it. You just have to be careful about, you know, the wording and what you're promising and all that. We've gotten shut down. My Facebook account got shut down last year from the
spot. Oh.
From one of the ads we put, which was the modern plague living in your bloodstream.
Oh.
And they didn't say, no, you can't put this up. But after we'd been running it for several weeks, they came and said, your account's shut down. And they wouldn't tell us why, but it was the only ad running.
Something you said in there was a little far beyond.
Yeah, they don't like you talking about modern plagues, bloodstream. You can't talk about belly fat. I mean, there's a lot of stuff you can't mention on Facebook. Yeah.
Okay. So, I also was thinking, how do I, you know, I was thinking that maybe I could use this as well, like a free, how much do you think something like this would be value at?
This free membership group? Not much, because
No. If you were to value this, you know, based on what we just discussed, every day you're going to get this and that and that.
But are you going?
I'm just trying to put a value tag, because if I want to offer as a freebie, I'm thinking that I can offer this as a freebie.
$19 a month, maybe?
Yeah.
$10 a month, $20 a month, something in that range?
Yeah. So I could, I think that, you know, be a freebie for subscribers. So like this woman?
Here's the reason I read that. No, because you can give it to them, but I think you're better off. You're going to serve your motive and your desire better if you just make it a public group.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you're going to limit it. You're going to get small numbers of people.
No. I will do what you're talking about, but I'm thinking a lot of people just don't know that it's a free public group. So if they don't know, it can be a freebie.
Yeah, I don't know.
No? Okay, got you.
We wouldn't offer it as a bonus. I'd say you get access to this and it's valued at, but we don't charge for it. Yes, you can say that. But I wouldn't make a deal of it as a bonus because it might be construed as being a little misleading.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. So, okay, good. Yeah. The other thing is I was thinking that, okay, what I could do as a freebie is to take parts of this thing and give like, you know, almost like a checklist, but not really. But people have 1 or 2 weeks of things to follow. You know, that, and it's right there. I just put in the ebook kind of thing. And okay, that is a freebie. They, you know, they don't know that it's coming from that program.
Sure. If you feel comfortable enough with the material and you want to make a 2 week, 14 day, 28 day, whatever challenge from it. But I think you've got your own program. So, I mean, this could be like a low end, like an ebook for $27 or something.
Well, I was thinking actually a freebie. Like if you sign up for the newsletter, then you get this for free.
Oh yeah. That'd be great.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. Like, you know, because the work over here is minimum. Don't have to create much, adjust and get somebody to create an ebook out of it.
Yep. That's not hard.
You know, and then you sign up and you get this free stuff, you know, two weeks of health, whatever.
Oh, absolutely. I think.
Okay. So you like that. Okay. I got that. Okay. Now that bottom part is just so you know what I'm doing. So, you know, the whole thing is whatever I put efforts into is to align with my business goals, right?
Yeah. And the idea is you want to get a people will come to the group and the people that are in a group are more engaged than people on your page.
Yes.
So you keep them active. What you do with these, you periodically run contests, right? If you put up the weekly challenge for Friday, whatever that was, right? Friday Warrior Weekend workout.
Yeah.
Points. Right? They have to post a picture of them doing those things. Then you get more engagement in the group. And when they post, they get points. And you can have a certain number of points that they can get towards, you know, something in your store, right? They could get $20 off or they can get something. I mean, you'd have to think about what you'd want to give them, but, right? But you want to make a contest. Even if it's, you know, if you do these contests, I know it costs, but, you know, you give them a $25 gift certificate for the person that gets the most, whatever. The other thing is sharing. You can actually have them share the group, you know, tell their friends and get their friends to join the group.
Right? Yeah. So I'm thinking too, obviously, how would you invite this? Call some of my peeps, my clients and former clients and invite them, or would you just do email and Facebook?
How did we start it? I think we might have posted it on the regular page. We sent email and we did that group thing, that challenge thing for the week, and we sent emails to our list.
Yeah, but you know, you have thousands of followers. I don't have thousands of followers. It's easy for you to accumulate people, and you've been doing this for a long time. So I don't know if just Facebook for me would do it, you know.
Well, for me, I don't have much on Facebook. I don't have a big following on Facebook.
Mm. Oh, but you got a good people who reads your emails.
You create it. You know, you have to make the picture look good for it. You have a good name, a catchy name. And people just, strangers just find our thing, right? They just find it. And you mention it a lot when you do posts. And in your YouTube, when you post a YouTube video, you can put the URL of that group to have them join the group. You like this exercise? Join our group for more.
Hmm. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yes. I want people to invite other people. So I'm like, how do I get this as quickly as possible out there? You know, but I think that, let me see. Yes. Okay. So you think that, no more than maybe every 2 months or once a quarter, then I can lead to some kind of
You do a challenge.
Yeah, I do a challenge to engage them to something, to whatever. If I want to promote my group personal training, so be it, or whatever, my lifestyle booty camp that is going to be offered a few times a year, or this Sweet Redemption, or whatever it is.
So I would look up Alina Vincent on Facebook. She does challenges on a regular basis. She's not in the health field. She's in the marketing field. But she is like a queen of how to do them.
Alina Vincent?
Yeah. A-L-I-N-A Vincent.
Okay.
Yeah. And she teaches how to do them.
And that's the one you bought the stuff
from? Well, she gave it to me, but.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I think I'm going to do that. Well, I don't think I will. I just got to get my shit together to get this stuff, you know, and work on the wording of this. But I'm excited. Yeah, at least it's going to get me started. That's why I bought it. So, you know what?
Oh, yeah. I think it's great because any kind of content that saves, because it's a lot of work to create content every day, you know? And if you start it, at least somebody started it and you can tweak it and put it out.
Yeah.
I think it's a good thing for you.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too. And then the next thing is I got to figure out, I think that I got to keep these challenges up that I'm doing so I can keep get better. So I'm going to think about the next challenge that I'm going to do.
Okay.
But anyway, well, thank you very much.
And on later. Your challenge videos, have you been doing them on Facebook Live? You've been doing
Yes.
Them? Yeah, great. Okay. Are you getting people to engage? Yeah.
Oh, Lynn is saying, okay. Yes. I don't get, because I don't have a structure, right? So I don't want to be, I'm doing this without a specific structure in purpose so I can just go out there, mm-hmm. right? So obviously
go
there's-
Go out whatever time of day, whatever time you've
got- Whenever. And so when there is no structure, obviously there are things that are going to be missing. So it's hard to ask, you know, people, like they might be doing whatever at night, you know, or whatever. So I cannot expect a lot of engagement. But what I do see is that, you know, you have the number of viewers and you have the number who kind of view your thing, but then they actually view the video.
Yeah.
That is at least 30%. One third of the people. Videos I got higher. So I have to do the homework and go back and I said, okay, why is this one getting higher? One that I did actually, I talk about my blood sugar. Actually, I pricked my finger right there, you know, and was exercise and talking about blood sugar. That one has been really up.
Really up. That's great.
Yes.
Great. You know, one thing I would say when you're doing them, I know you're doing a 30-day challenge, but I wouldn't tell people you're doing a 30-day challenge. I would just get out there and say, hey, this is Marie. I'm here for the tip of the day. And blah, 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 this is what we're going to talk about today. And hey, tomorrow we're going to talk about whatever. You know,
yeah.
Think a day ahead and get them anticipating, right? And then there may be some things you can do. I'd have to look to see what you're doing in the text. But there may be.
Yeah, I'm writing a lot. That's not good.
Yeah, and I think you need to just get them watching, and yes. Then you can write more in the comments. That's what I was noticing.
I thought about that, yes.
Yeah.
I thought about that because one of the research I actually put in an app says, you know, got to keep it short on the top.
Keep it short on the top, get them to watch it, and then you can, in there, you can say, like I said to you before, you get them and you put them on a blog post, and all that stuff that you were writing at the top, instead, you write it in the blog post and you have the video there and you put the link to that in comments once you have that up.
Yeah. So, by the way, I got the girls. She turned in some of my blog posts already. I just need to review them.
Great.
And then I'll start, putting this on my website. So are you suggesting for me to go back to my Facebook Lives and put the link to my blog post in there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
For all the ones, okay.
For the ones you've done, and then say, hey, for a transcript, because it's kind of like a transcript of it, right?
Not really.
For synopsis notes of this, right? And actually.
Yeah, okay, that's good.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is a little bit more added value on that, you know, on the, but yes, I'm putting the keyword phrase, so I'm spending, oh my God, some time researching for that stuff. Oh my God.
The keyword phrasing is it does pay to and then to stick to a certain limited number, 10 to 12 to 15 that you use over and over again. And after a while, especially if you use longer phrases, not the common ones, use the keyword search tool, the Google keyword.
Yeah, I'm using that. The planner and the trends.
Make sure that you don't take things that have high competition, the longer tail keywords, and you'll start to get found, right? Things that have like 50,000 searches a month, not 2 million. The ones that have 2 million, the big guys are getting, and they're paying a lot of money, and you can't compete because they have bucks.
Yeah, it's very time consuming. I understand why these people make money in marketing, because, oh my God, I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. I just wanted to, you know, actually writing this stuff took me a lot longer, because then I'm putting all my thoughts in, and then it helps me. And
but that helps you to organize your thoughts. When things just float around in your brain, it's just very different. When you start to write it, you start to get clarity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I wrote it to the girl, to the owner of this thing, you know, and then I just part putting. So when I came to you and I said, hey, would like to comment, right? I had more clarity than before.
That's good.
And then when I was writing it down, putting it in this format, then I got even more clarity and become more confident on the next steps. And then I'm kind of looking for validation, not validation, but really thoughts and, okay, see holes, you know, on this.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Sure. All right. Farah. You bio.
Hi.
So this is a 32-year-old or something?
Yeah, 32-year-old female.
And what kind of complaints has she had? What prompted you to do the eBio?
So I've been working, this is my niece actually, and I've been working with her for a couple of years, just cleaning up her diet. She has fibromyalgia, so we were working on things to improve that. She's gluten-free, pretty much sugar-free, lives paleo. I'd say at least 90% of the time. She has two kids that are 2 and 4. She started having problems after her first daughter was born with just some gastrointestinal issues. It was, the delivery was pretty traumatic. She lives in Juneau, Alaska. And when she started having some complications, they actually had to move her to a bigger hospital.
Wow.
And,
deliver naturally, or was it a C-section?
She did do natural. She lost a lot of blood. Mm-hmm. And at one point there was a lot of hubbub talking about taking her into surgery, and, you know, her husband had to leave her, and she was, really stressed that he wasn't there. Plus, you know, they don't have family there. They've got good friends, but no family. So that started a lot of things. We've been working a lot on anxiety and just kind of resetting her whole energy around the delivery. Because mm-hmm. Her husband also had extreme PTSD over everything. So he's another one I could this on. But we did the eBiome just financially. They didn't have money to do the Great Plains oat test. And this was free. And so
it's,
I'm like,
free. How'd they get it free?
It was a special offer that they were doing. And, so she was able to get it for free. She did have, so it's really hard to find naturopaths and functional medicine docs in Juneau. Not me. And, they did do some stool testing as well. And the only thing that came up, she did not have parasites. She had, and I'm not sure about these, she had some really low antifungal markers and some pretty low bacteria, but the candida seemed high. Mm-hmm. So we did a whole candida protocol. She was really good following it, no sugar, no gluten. We did no fermented foods, just really tried to clean it up. Gradually added fermented foods back in first to see how she would respond. So then she has another child, mm-hmm. and then things get really bad, and lots of gas, bloating, pain. We looked into the SIBO, followed the SIBO protocol that you have, and it helped, but nothing really got better. So that's why we did this eBiome. So interestingly enough, this was done November 14th, and she actually just had her gallbladder removed. She had a 4.2-centimeter gallstone.
Ooh.
And we had talked about doing a liver protocol before, but she would not do well with that, mm-hmm. and really felt the gallstone was too big to try and pass. It just really freaked her out.
Was it in the gallbladder, or was it in the duct?
It was in the gallbladder, but it was like sitting on a duct. Like it was like looking, you know, like it was getting ready to cause more problems. Now, I don't know if that is where a lot of her gas and bloating and pain was coming from. She's just, gosh, she just had her surgery actually. Oh, I'm sorry. It looks like collection date was in October. Okay, yeah. She just had her surgery, November 19th.
Okay. So a month after this, she had her
surgery. Yeah. So it's hard to tell how she feels, right? Because she's just having a hard time finding food that she can tolerate. She can't tolerate fat right now.
When was her second baby born?
So she'll be 2 in January.
Okay. And then the first one was how long before that?
About 2 years before that.
Okay. So about 4 years ago, she had the first baby.
Yeah.
In the same sense. Okay. So hard to tell too soon after surgery whether the surgery improved anything. But as we look through here with this, was there anything that really stood out for you?
You know, I thought it looked actually not that bad.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking at these are some normal flora and they're low, right?
Uh-huh.
A bunch of them low. So my guess, I don't see like the normal stuff like the lacto and bifido anywhere. Maybe that's further down, but like oxalobacter, right? That's low. Means she's going to have a hard time with oxalates, right?
That okay.
Guys eat the oxalates. So, and the thing about these are not bugs you can go find a formula that have them in them. Right. This is where fermented foods does make a difference, you know, in having a variety of organisms.
And we did talk about I sent her a list of oxalate problems, and she didn't feel like that fit her very well.
That may not. I'm just saying she might have a problem with breaking them down.
But it was something we were looking at.
But look at it, all of these organisms, right? All of the organisms that they would expect to have are on the low side. They're not normal. So, you know, you might be, I don't know if you ever did any probiotics with her, but like a bifido, especially, you know, being careful, or D-lactic acid-free lactose. So like the ones from Custom Probiotics, just to try to flush in a whole bunch of good stuff. Let's see if they actually test the, I've done many of these. So, okay. So the following organisms for these conditions, for these microorganisms. So there is some positive. For these, Bacteroides, Campylobacter, Clostridium, and it doesn't really tell you which ones and how much of each, but those are definitely problematic. So she's got low on her normal flora. She's got positive for some of these organisms here that could be causing a variety of different symptoms, diarrhea, bloating, you know, you look it up at the top there. And she's got high on these guys. So there's where her lacto is. Oxalobacter. I don't understand. Is that a different oxalobacter? Formiginous. And that's low. And this says it's high. So it's I don't know how to read this because I've never really done them before, whether they mean that all of these are high, or if they're looking at this as a group and saying that there's a lot.
Right, because I look at it as they're looking at it as a group.
Yeah, that's what I would
think.
Just because, I mean, the Oxalobacter formiginis was actually showing as low up here.
Mm-hmm.
And, so it's a group. They don't do sensitivities on here, so it's hard to know what do you do about it, right?
Right.
And then it shows some of these others here, which are also in that list. Negative, positive. Oh, okay. I see. This is a definition page.
Oh.
This looks like it's a definitions.
Right. The top page there. Yeah.
It's kind of interesting that that wasn't page one. You know what I mean? It's like, why would you put the definitions like right in the middle of the report? A little confusing to me.
Unless that's my fault.
Nope,
I'm wondering if I got them out of order.
Nope, you no? looked.
Uh-uh.
Yeah, I just looked. All right, so lactobacillus looks normal. Microbial diversity looks normal. All of these pathogens look negative. These pathogens look negative. Bifido looks normal. Lacto looks normal. Yeah, so they basically break it down by the condition and which organisms might be associated with it. So here's where she's got a few issues. Under, she's low on some of the protective. So this is a protective one, the Acaromacea and Elasir invisis. And the rest are normal. So Crohn's disease is a possibility that they're saying, you know, there's a low possibility that there's some symptoms for Crohn's inflammatory bowel disease. She have any bleeding or any doubling over pain, or is it more?
No bleeding, but her pain would get pretty bad sometimes where it was really hard for her to function and take care of her kids.
Yeah. I mean, so there are some markers for organisms that are low that would normally, my reading of this would be that those would be protective against both ulcerative colitis and Crohn's. So there may be some inflammatory bowel going on.
We do have family history of ulcerative colitis.
We do. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then also, you know, this is associated with bloating and this anterotruncus colemius or whatever it is. Did this come with any kind of a report other than this or just this?
No. Yeah, that was it.
Yeah. Is she overweight?
Since her second baby, she's been struggling with her weight. Not much. I would say, I don't know, maybe 20 pounds.
See, this anchor. Yeah, I don't know how to say it, but that one seems to be associated with quite a number of different things.
Uh-huh.
Type 2 diabetes, obesity, ulcerative colitis.
And I think
bloating.
I can't remember what kind of probiotic she's on. I know she just quit nursing a couple months ago. Mm-hmm. And so it's been hard to kind of treat her with supplements or herbs because she's been real hesitant to try things to help with some of this stuff. And actually before her surgery, she was just feeling so bad and her, you know, her baby's almost two. I'm like, you might have to make a choice here. If you're getting to the point where you're having a hard time functioning, you might have to just either try the herbs or the supplements to help you feel better or stop nursing so that you can do that. But now with the surgery, I do believe she's quit nursing at this point.
Nursing, yeah. So basically,
she was only nursing once a day.
Not a lot of things out of balance. It's just showing up over and over. The Oxalobacter, this Ankyro, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Those are two that are low. Here's what I wonder if that has to do with butyrate.
Now, something I forgot to mention, too, is that after her second baby, she had postpartum Hashimoto's,
mm-hmm.
and it has not gone away. And so in July, it would have been a year and a half postpartum, her TPO was 126,
mm-hmm.
and she's having a hard time balancing her thyroid hormones.
Yeah.
So that's something she's dealing with on top of this as well. Her blood sugar was 96,
fast.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But with the Hashimoto's, you know, and like I said, she eats pretty clean. It, she's paleo for the most part. What's that?
Is she 100% off gluten?
I would say yes, except I'm not sure she worries too much about cross-contamination, which I've talked to her about.
Yeah. So yeah. You know, with Hashimoto's, it's certainly stress. Having two babies is a stressful situation. You've got the leaky gut. Have you done a leaky gut protocol with her? Probably not.
No, not yet. She was really focused on, thinking she had SIBO. That's all she would talk about for quite a while, was just trying to deal with the SIBO. But even after following SIBO protocol, she didn't have a lot of relief.
Yeah. I'm not seeing a whole lot of pathogens, right? Mm-hmm. What I'm mostly seeing is low on some of the normal flora.
Mm-hmm.
Right. These both. So I would find out what she is taking. If she's still concerned about SIBO, just get her on like a lactic acid, D-lactic acid free one, and extra bifidus, even though the bifidus and the lactose show up normal, that could help to create some diversity. I would also look at getting her to start make her own fermented vegetables.
Yeah, and she was doing her own coconut kefir. And a couple other things. She's been using her Instapot to make some fermented stuff.
Great. Yeah, I would head on into a full on. If she doesn't have the money to do any further testing, I would head into a full on go through all the processes for leaky gut. Through the brand stuff, the stuff we teach in CMDS, and make sure that she's doing all that stuff. It's hard with two kids to sit down and relax before each meal, but it is pretty important. And the chewing piece and the staying calm through her meals. If she has to do some blended food for a while, that could be a good way to do it. I mean, I did a lot of blended food when my kids were little because I didn't have time to chew. Who has time to chew when you're running around after two little kids?
Yeah. Right? Yeah. She's doing a green smoothie every day. And I just talked with her last week about having the kids do some yoga with her before dinner, and because they do it with her other times anyway. So I said, why don't you just take 2 to 5 minutes and just do some deep breathing exercises. And I gave her ideas to do that with small children. And so they were going to start implementing that. And also just to see if I can calm down some of the dinner activity that happens with a 2-year-old and 4-year-old.
Exactly.
So.
I know those times. It's been a long time. But seriously, I mean, it looks like she needs some diversity, really.
Okay.
She just needs some normal flora diversity. There's no, I mean, I didn't test exhaustively. They didn't test candida or parasites here.
So she had that Genova testing done, and she was high on the candida, but we did do a candida protocol after that. So I don't know what it would look like now.
How long ago was that?
It was this last summer.
Yeah, I would repeat it. And that's the biggest, it's really hard to know if what you did worked. Did you do biofilms? Was it the right range? Did you alternate the, some of those things?
Yeah.
May or may not still be a problem. I people are asking me about the Ubiome test. I've not seen anything on them. I don't see clinical stuff I can hang my hat on clinically from them. Like with the doctor's data test, I go through, I can find out how's the pancreatic function, how are the short-chain fatty acids. They'll do sensitivity tests on any of the ones that show up that aren't, that show up as pathogenic. So I'm not 100% sure what to do with this data, other than it's telling me that she doesn't have, of the pathogens that they tested, she doesn't have anything really to sink your teeth into and get concerned about. She does have some low, some diversity issues where some low of the normal flora that we don't have bottles of that we can buy.
Right.
She says to me, figuring out what homemade fermented foods and a variety of them, because they're all going to have different. I mean, Steph teaches how to do like fermented lentils and sweet potatoes, and just having her just try several different things and see what seems to work. Now that she's lost her gallbladder, the issue becomes making sure that she's digesting properly. You may have to look at bile salts. to help her digest, digestive enzymes for sure. And then, bitters, you know, bitters can help a lot with the cholagogues moving bile flow.
Yeah. So I got her on, ox bile right away. I tend to use Zymogen products most of the time. Mm-hmm. And, I'm trying to think if she's still doing her enzymes. I'll have to double check with her and see if she's still doing that.
And I'd see if you can get her. I know it's hard with two little kids to do a food diary, but at least to get a sense of the food, what she's eating, how often she's eating. If her blood sugar was up in the 90s, there's probably an imbalance there that needs to be addressed as well.
Right. And we were doing MyFitnessPal. So I had access to her food diary there and her exercise. And, you know, it's that darn Hashimoto's too, you know, just trying to get that blood sugar level. She just recently, started exercising, and, her little girl, the baby, would just scream and cry the whole time she was gone. Like if she left for work for a couple hours, and so her husband would have to take the baby to her work. She's a music teacher. And she finally just quit doing that. So now she's able to get to the gym and go exercise, you know, a couple times a week. They live in Juneau. So when they have nice weather and no sun, or I'm sorry, no rain, you know, they are always, they're outside, they're bundled up, but they're outside at the park and walking the beach and doing things because it's small. And you're inside a lot there. Oh, so at least she gets outside.
Vitamin D. Have you tested her vitamin D? Or done
yeah, it? And her D is good. And really on blood chem software, most of her labs came back good. Her potassium sodium ratio was off. And I'm trying to think what else was off. Her hormones were off. And this was done again this last summer. So her, I think it was the progesterone, estradiol, and testosterone were all low. But not having a functional medicine dog out there to help her and her being afraid to take anything while she was still nursing, I didn't do a whole lot with that yet.
I think that now that she's not nursing, you can do a lot more and look at her adrenals for sure.
Yep.
You know, if those are all low, my guess is that her adrenals are, and given the stress of a gallbladder surgery, two babies, and you know, gut stuff for the last 4 years, she's got stress, you know, and her adrenals are probably there. She's either in a hyper state right now, right, where she's just shunting all her precursor down to cortisol, or she's past that and she doesn't have the juice to really do some good repair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's the latter. Her poor husband, his anxiety is so out of control, he can hardly work. And that all happened after, because she also had a very difficult delivery with the second baby with complications. And, you know, so it's not just the babies, it's dealing with him and his anxiety. And it has gotten so bad, it's, you know, OCD and he's better.
It sounds like, you know, it sounds oftentimes is associated with serotonin deficiency.
So yep. I've got him on, some 5-HTP, tyrosine, L-theanine, inositol kind of stuff to really, and that's really helped a lot. He's able to work now and not have to go home, you know, five times to check everything
and make sure he's doing the gut stuff, you know, good probiotics, enzymes, all that, because he may really have a gut imbalance that's leading to low that's leading to, you know, imbalance there.
Yeah, I agree. And he finally went gluten-free this last summer because he was feeling so bad. And so he finally started eating what she was making, not stopping and getting burgers and fries and all that kind of stuff. So it has helped a lot. And they'll actually be out here for Christmas, so I'll have an opportunity to kind of do some face-to-face stuff with them. And I definitely would have rather had, you know, Great Plain testing for this,
but Yeah. So I'm not, like, people were asking on the Facebook page, hey, what do I think of it? So far, I'm not very impressed, but with this biome, but maybe there's another, you know, paid test that has more to it. But everyone that I've seen looks like this, and it's like, okay.
Right. Now what?
Now yeah. What? Yeah. What are you not telling me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I know, I just listened to, the Mastery Neurotransmitter, and I know you talked about, urine testing not being a great marker for the neurotransmitters, but I do think it's a good starting place because, in case people don't know me, I'm a licensed clinical social worker. I'm a psychotherapist, and so most of my practice is PTSD, depression, anxiety. I work with kids, teens, and adults. And one of the things that I always, always talk to them about is, depending on your research, your neurotransmitters are 80 to 90% in your digestive system. Mm-hmm. So if you don't fix the leaky gut and you don't get the gut healthy, you're going to always have depression and anxiety. And so you have to start in with that.
But when I said the urine, I don't like the urine testing for the neurotransmitters themselves.
Right.
You get a much better look if you do an oat test or even looking at amino acids, because you can see what the precursors are, because it's very hard to tell where those neurotransmitters are.
Yeah.
I think it's, and I, for years and years, had people coming in with those tests from neuroscience, and then they tell you to go on this supplement and that supplement and the other supplement, and nobody ever got results.
Right.
So I just got turned off to it, and I see, you know, great results with going for the, what you find on the oat test, or fixing the gut, really.
Right.
Starting with the gut. So I would say work with her, work with him on the gut, do a full blown leaky gut repair, you know, figure out what they need. Retest if you can on the candida, because if you haven't gotten rid of it, it's just going to keep doing it. Depending on their resources, you can always do a, what is it? Cyrex 2, the array 2.
Oh, uh-huh.
Leaky gut markers. And that gives you an idea too.
Right. Yeah.
Great.
Okay.
All right. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
All right. Who else? Let me look at the chat. I'm going to get rid of this. I'll just stop the share. All right. Let's see. Chat. Oh, 50. Mark 50 things in the chat. Okay. Let's see. Lynn Rose wanted to know, what is Ubiome? It's a stool test that they look at all these organisms that we just looked, you saw. I remember reading that they also do some sort of analysis or recommendations, but I know somebody who did it, and she was very disappointed that she didn't get that. She paid a lot of money for it. Okay. All right. Some good support for Maria. Let's see. Let's see. Anything else in here that I missed? Lynn Rose, do you see any reason aside from cost to do this test over another? Absolutely not. Sorry, I just am not a fan yet until I figure out what's the big, you know, what's the benefit. Maybe I should go study their site and see, but, oh, it's Viome that you want to do, not Ubiome. Viome, that's the other one. So sorry, Janine, I was getting mixed up between Viome and Ubiome. So Lynn Rose, are you going to that class here in Austin, the Great Plains, where you get a free oat test? Because I was thinking about going to that, and so was Lynn and Jan. Okay, good. So I'm sorry, I was confused between eubiome and viome. Totally different test, I said. And yep, inositol been found to effective in treating OCD. I know it also helps with sleep, and it's been used a lot in PCOS. Be careful with the methyl bees with this guy if he's got a lot of anxiety, Farah, and if you don't know his genes, just make sure that you go very slowly with the methyl bees. Yeah, because the COMT would be, now if he's not on your side, right, it's your cyst, but that can affect him. So I usually, when I don't know the methylation status, what I'll do is I'll put them on like folinic acid, and then I'll put them on the B12 side, I'll put them on, say, hydroxy or adenosyl, and then I get them to do the little droppers of the methyl, the liposomal that Seeking Health has, and it's very, very dilute. So I just have them start with one drop. Do that for a couple of days. Start with two. And meanwhile, they're just paying attention and rating the anxiety levels and the OCD levels and see if it aggravates, then you pull it back. You don't use the methyls. It's one of those double-edged swords, right? You really want the methyl groups, but you got to be careful with the COMT and the MAO especially. And Lynn Rose asks, would 23andMe tell us about those SNPs? Yes, they would. Yeah. And you have access to our nutrigenomics. If you log into our VLM side, our site, it's exactly your same user ID and password. Right now it's vibrantlivingmembers.com. In a couple of weeks, it's going to be different because we're moving sites, but you won't need to know it. It'll just automatically go. But if you go in there and look up methylation, you'll see it. It should be one of the things on the nutrigenomics, which should be one of those. And it tells you all about those and how to order and what little things to order with the special reports that you can order from that. With the week Zoomers, we gave them all the information. We filled out the forms and we sent them in. So we're just waiting to hear back from them as to how we order and all that. Yep. Yep. Questions? Anybody else? I see who else came on. Brandon and Janice. Janet. Whoever, NZQ19, who was that earlier? Somebody came on and said, there, that's me. And I don't know how it showed up. I don't know. No, I don't remember who. Oh, Susan. But I saw Susan on separately earlier. Maybe a different Susan. It was Susan. There, you just changed it. Thank you, Susan. Valerie, Janine. Okay, so questions, comments? None? How's it going, the new people, with the content? You starting to make headway on it? And we should have module 26 should be open by tomorrow, I heard. Yeah. And the goal is to have everything else open by the end of the year, which is 2 weeks. Yeah. Okay. Nothing? Yeah, go ahead, Farah. Open up. You got through module one, Susan. Good. Yay.
Could you talk a little bit more about homocysteine?
Mm-hmm. What do you want to know about it?
Well, high homocysteine.
Yeah.
What are symptoms? Mm-hmm. What are complications with high homocysteine?
Okay. Sure. And here's the thing. Unfortunately, there usually aren't symptoms. And it's usually a hidden thing. And the complications are cardiovascular disease and brain. It's inflammatory and it causes damage to vessels, small vessels and nerves. So it can cause brain issues and it can cause heart attack. So it's an important thing to measure, I think, especially if somebody does have MTHFR mutations because it's part of that methylation. So if I'll just draw it out here like this, I'll do two. So we have, here's the folate cycle, and this would be the homocysteine cycle. So we do all this work to get ourselves down to methylfolate, which comes around here and takes homocysteine, which is down here, and brings it up and gets methyl groups attached to it and comes up to be methionine, and then acetonacyl methionine, which is SAMe, and then comes back around, and then there's a pathway through the middle that requires betaine, and it's BHMT. So when someone has problems with methylation, they don't have enough methyl groups, you get a buildup here of homocysteine, right? And so we really have to look at the B vitamins. So the B12 and the folate up here, but then to take the homocysteine down into the sulfation pathways where we have glutathione made, we have to have enough B6. So that the reason that a lot of the supplements that are geared towards reducing homocysteine that work very well are B6, B12, and folate. There's sometimes other cofactors in there as well. Sometimes there's some molybdenum and others, but those are the main ones. So if you see someone with a high homocysteine, and I would test it on anybody who has any kind of family history of heart disease or their own history of heart disease or just what the heck, they've been following a not so good diet their whole life, or you know that they have methylation issues, then I would test the homocysteine. And if I, above 8, above 6, you know, I like to see it 6-ish, 4 to 6 is a good range. At 8, you just kind of start watching it. Once it goes above 8 and into 10, I think the normal lab range is 10 or 12 is the high. But I see people with a lot higher homocysteine. That homocysteine too, the other thing about it is it will affect the ability of thyroid receptors to receive the thyroid hormone. So that's one of the underlying causes of thyroid resistance, along with like vitamin A deficiency, excess cortisol, too little cortisol, cytokines from inflammation. All of those things affect the thyroid receptors. So homocysteine is super important because you could have somebody, so symptomatically, maybe they show up as thyroid symptoms, but their lab tests look quote unquote normal, right? I mean, not in the case of your niece because it already looks abnormal. She does have antibodies, right. But
she has high homocysteine.
And she has high homocysteine. So she probably, so here's the thing. I always tell people to assume when you're doing a thyroid, a workup and a protocol for someone, is that you assume they have thyroid resistance. Because if you find antibodies or you find their T4 to T3 conversion is low and you address those things and then they still have symptoms, but their labs look normal, a lot of times it's the resistance. So when we go through my thyroid protocol book, if you go to the TRT module and the regular thyroid module in NEPT, you'll see my little step-by-step process, right? And I always say, assume resistance and make sure you check all the factors related to resistance so that while you're working on the other things, you have that insurance that they're actually, once they're making enough thyroid hormone and not destroying their thyroid tissue, that their cells can actually receive it. Because you can have thyroid symptoms without having a thyroid problem, right? It could just be a peripheral problem. And a lot of times the conversion, the T4 to T3 conversion, it isn't a thyroid problem, really. I mean, only about 20%, 25% of it gets converted in the thyroid, if that much. Most of it's the liver, 50%. 25% in the gut. And those numbers vary, you know, depending on the person. So we have to make sure that they have good gut function and they have good liver function in order to have a functioning thyroid axis, so to speak. Because it's not necessarily the gland, because the gland isn't doing the conversion, right? That's why I like to, when I look at it, I always like to look at the total T4, because that tells me what's the thyroid actually producing. You compare the total T4 that's produced with the amount of TSH, and if you have a super high level of TSH and a relatively normal level of T4, you know that pituitary has had to work super hard, so the thyroid's struggling. But if you see super, super low TSH and you see low T4, then it seems to me that there's a problem with the feedback mechanism that the pituitary isn't reading and saying, hey, T4 is too low. We need to boost it. And it's not doing its work. So it could be a pituitary or hypothalamus thing. So I think that it's super important to look at that whole thyroid axis, not just as what's the thyroid doing, but what's the pituitary and hypothalamus doing to stimulate it. how's the conversion happening? Are there any antibodies? So is it an immune system issue? And then what other things are getting in the way of the receptors? Is there inflammation, autoimmune in other places, if not in the thyroid, high levels of cortisol, which will affect the uptake, high levels of homocysteine. So if she's got high levels of homocysteine, for sure you got to look at those B vitamins, you know, the B12, B folate, and B6.
Okay.
That makes sense?
Yeah.
And again, if you don't have her methylation stuff, just go slowly with the methylation factors so you don't aggravate, you know, the tendency to be anxious and stressed out.
Right. And speaking of pituitary and hypothalamus, I don't know if you remember last year at the SHINE conference, I had had my thyroid out, three quarters of it removed a year prior.
Right.
And my TSH was 0.01 for a year. Well, actually a year and a half. And I just stayed on, Zymogen has a hypothalamus pituitary support, and just went dairy free, which I hadn't been before. Did some intermittent fasting. Haven't lost weight, but my TSH is functioning. My pituitary is functioning again.
Yeah.
My numbers finally came up, and you know, so I just tell people hang in there because it took a year and a half for that to come back and to work and to get where it's supposed to be. And if I would have given up and went and ate a bunch of junk and, you know, I've been gluten free and sugar free for a long time, but you know, if I would have just said, oh, it's not worth it, I probably wouldn't be functioning very well right now, but I just hung in there and I just kept doing what I knew I needed to do. Yeah. And I stayed clean and I just kept at it and it paid off, and it took a long time, but it paid off. And
right. It never pays off to abuse yourself. So I
right.
You know, it's that desperation that people get in. It's not working, so I might as well go have fun with, you know, my life. But really, you're going to have fun with your life. So really, there's no justification ever for going off the deep end and not eating well, because it's never going to do you any good. But it may not be doing noticeable good on the outside, but it's sure as heck doing much better on the inside than eating Twinkies and, you know, drinking Coke, right?
Right.
So yeah. I know that you aren't probably going to do that, but I know it can get frustrating for people. And that's a really good message to have people just hang in there, because you don't always see the external manifestations for a while, but know that behind the scenes, all that good stuff is happening and you're getting yourself in balance. You can't get yourself in balance by eating the standard American diet and, you know, and junk and processed food. Right.
Right.
So, and everybody's longer.
People just say, wow, that's tenacity, or geez, I can't believe you hung in there that long. And, you know, to me, it's just, but why do I want to feel terrible? Why do I want to feel awful? That's why I gave all that stuff up. Mm-hmm. And I enjoy my life. It's right. So
right. It's not like you're feeling deprived. Right. Yeah. They can't enjoy life. You know, my sister was a smoker. Most of the people in my family were smokers. And when she was about 32, she got pregnant and she quit smoking. And she quit dyeing her hair because she read that the dye was not good for the baby. She had gray hair by the time she was 29. So she had completely gray hair, started letting grow. None of us knew she had such gray hair. And we were all like, oh. And she keeps her hair really short. So it's really obvious really quickly that she is completely gray. But when she had her baby, her friend said to her, oh, so when are you going to start smoking again? And she was like, she looked at them like they were like, three-headed monsters. Like, what? Why would I want to start smoking again? Well, you gave it up for your baby, but that was a good reason for me to give up something that was bad for me. Why would I want to go back to it now that my baby's born? Like, you know, but that's what people do, right? They'll give something up temporarily. She did go back to dyeing her hair, you know, female vanity wins out over so much, you know, we all say, well, I got to dye my hair, but you know, when the time comes. Yeah. But
my doctor teases me about dyeing my hair, and I said, well, everything else is detoxed in my life, so I'm going to let myself have
do one thing. And you do the cleanest you can. There's a lot of really clean stuff on the market now that is much better, you know, the horrible stuff. But anyway, I think that that's a good point. Like when somebody gives up, you know, the bad stuff because they have a thyroid problem, and then you go, well, it's not working, I'll just go back to the bad stuff, that it's counterintuitive. So thank you for sharing that, because we're going to hear it. We hear that a lot from folks.
Yeah.
Yeah. My Crohn's is still here, so I'm just going to go back and rip my gut to shreds again. Like,
yeah.
Seriously? Like, really? Yeah.
Yeah, I have a client I've been working with. He's a 56-year-old man. He lost 150 pounds. Wow. Felt great. Did food sensitivity. Got all up, off all his stuff. Gotten a great relationship. And now he's comfortable. And he's back on his Mountain Dew and margaritas. And just eating kind of whatever. Gained all his weight back and then some. And came back and is, you know, oh, I feel so horrible. What should I do?
He wants to ask you, what should I do? Well, maybe you could do the stuff that I taught you how to do 2 years ago. Do you want to pay me again? That's exactly what I said. Oh, and you know what? I always use the hammer analogy, right? If you go to the doctor and they say, you know, I have a headache, and they ask you what you're doing, and they find out that you hit your head over the hammer every day when you go home, they say, stop. They say, here's your aspirin. Take this to help the pain go away, but stop hitting yourself over the head with a hammer. So they go home and they take the aspirin and the headache goes away and they stop hitting themselves over the hammer for a couple of days and they figure, oh, the headache hasn't come back. Then I'll just go back and start hitting myself over the head with a hammer again. And what? Yeah. Surprise, the pain comes back, right?
Yeah.
And that's what they're doing with the food and the Mountain Dew and all that kind of stuff. They're basically hitting their body over the head with a hammer. And it's our job, part of our job is to teach them to have some common sense about it. And, you know, there's a lot of emotional baggage that goes with what people eat and they don't want to give it up. But that's why going back to what Maria was saying at the beginning with this person that came on, like really getting them in touch with what they really want the most and just keep going back to it. And really making sure when we either finish a program with somebody or dismiss them or whatever reason, don't work with them for a while because they're cured, you know, they're feeling better. That I think should be the exit interview part is like, so here's your prescription for life, you know, stay on this and then check in with me every 3 months. Let's have every 6 months or whatever. Let's have a maintenance check just to see, you know, where you're at. Because I think that people, they just go off thinking, they can just keep doing it. People say to me, you can't cure diabetes. Well, I don't cure diabetes. People's bodies cure diabetes, though. No, diabetes is incurable because as soon as they go back to eating the foods, you know, sugar again, they're going to get it back. I'm like, yes, that's true. That doesn't mean they weren't cured.
Right.
You know, it's like you fall down the stairs and you break your leg and then you put a cast on it and it heals and you walk around and go, yeah, my leg is healed. And then you fall down the stairs again and you break it again. Does that mean it wasn't healed in the first place? It means no, you just went and did the same thing that caused it. So when we go back and do it, I remember Datis Karazian in some classes I took with him a long time ago, he would say things like, no, Hashimoto's isn't curable. You can just manage it because as soon as they start to go back to the old bad stuff, they're going to get it back. But I mean, I think that's true of anything, right? You know, whatever you're doing that causes you to have a problem and you stop it and you go back to it, it's going to come back. It doesn't mean you didn't have an answer or solution to the problem.
Yeah. With the kids that I work with, rarely do I ever have kids that need to go on medication, and we'll change diet, lifestyle in the home. Behaviors are great. They're not getting in trouble in school. They're not oppositional defiant anymore, all this great stuff. And sure, I can almost count it like clockwork. Within 4 to 6 months, I get a phone call from mom again. Oh, we need to come back in. Kids acting up. It's, you know, I don't know what's wrong with them. And my first question is, you went back to your old eating habits, didn't you? And they, oh man, I didn't even think about that. Right. I know.
Right. And that's why it's really important to make sure that people know what you're not giving them a diet. I mean, they get that related to weight loss. You're not giving them a diet. It has to be a lifestyle change, but that's what they have to understand. You know, what I'm giving you is not something you have to do just temporarily. Maybe some of the real extreme, if I'm having them do an elimination diet or, you know, whatever, fast or something, a juice diet, but in general, this is not a short-term solution. This is your life plan, right? And let's just get over the fact that you're going to miss the Mountain Dew and the Twinkies, right? I used to live on ice cream and M&Ms and Triscuits. And, oh, what are those little things? Pringles. They were my favorite foods. Got me through college. Got me through college. But I don't miss them because I know what the implications are. And so that's where the education comes in. That's why I'm so big on teaching you all the science behind all this so you can teach it to people. Because I remember that woman that said to me, you know, 60 pounds later, she was down to 125 from her 190 or whatever. And she said, "You ruined Cheetos for me." That was her comment. "You ruined Cheetos for me," because she said, "I knew they were bad for years before I met you. But I just kept, you know, when I was with my friends, I'd eat out of the bowl of Cheetos. But after you explained all the mechanisms and the hydrogenated fats and the way it affects hormones and the way it affects the immune system and inflammation," she says, "I can't even look at a Cheeto without being disgusted." She goes, "I have no interest in them." And that's what we want to do. I think that's what our job is, to help people to see the connection between this food or this habit and their pain, and to break it. Right? You know how people say, I know, but I've known lots of people. I had the last time I had lemon meringue pie, I threw up my guts out. I had food poisoning and I just have no interest in lemon meringue pie anymore. You know, whether it's lemon meringue pie or, you know, hamburgers or whatever that food is, that last food before somebody just like really loses it and has a bad case of food poisoning. A lot of times they just are psychologically damaged by that and they have no interest in that. That's kind of what we have to create. And I hate to say that to you as a psychologist, but you want to create that psychological damage related to them going back. They go, "Oh no, that caused me to be in that state. I don't want to be back in that state." So if there's,
I just did that with a client with Starbucks coffee.
Really?
I had her read an article about how horrible the coffee and the coffee beans are and how acidic it is and the chemicals they use to clean it. And she didn't want to read the article because she didn't want to give up her Starbucks.
Yeah. But it's, you know, it's a challenge, but it's worth it, you know? Yeah. And I don't know how many people, it's the same with my, over the years, people come back and they go, "Okay, what should I do now?" I'm like, "Okay, are you doing what we already talked about?" "Well," or the lady who was diabetic, and I told her, you know, about drinking green smoothies and we were working on blood sugar stuff, and she would come back in and go, like 3 weeks later, "I'm still drinking. I'm doing your diet and nothing's getting better." "Oh, okay, tell me about it." And, "Well, I did that green smoothie in the morning, just like you said." And I go, "Okay, what'd you have for lunch?" "Well, I was out and about and I was doing a delivery and I didn't have anything with me. So I stopped it, you know, when I got the chicken McNuggets. And then all afternoon, I had to go to the bathroom and I didn't want to go into the grocery store without paying for something. So I bought something." "What did you buy?" "Oh, I don't know, Hershey's bar." And I go back and I'm like, "Honey, you're not doing my diet. Don't blame my diet. You're not following it. But I'm drinking those green smoothies in the morning." That's not the whole thing, right? And that's where we, you know, early on, that was one of the first packages I ever did. I said, "Okay." She came and talked to me and I said, "Oh, you can have this package of whatever, 4 sessions and it'll be $500 and you'll also get my green cleanse and this and that and the other thing." And she signed up. And after the first session with her, I wished I'd only sold her a session. It was like, "Oh, I can't believe I have to deal with this again and again, 4 times. Oh, right.
Yeah. I did a Facebook Live, and this might be good for Maria if she's still on. I don't know if she's still on, but I was out running around and I tend to stop at natural grocers if I don't have food with me.
Yep.
So I just did a Facebook Live in my car about, "Hey, I'm running around today and I went to natural grocers to get my snacks and got hard-boiled eggs and a couple Tonka sticks and some K-Vita because it's better than going to Wendy's or, you know, costs about the same as doing that. Now I've got a nice protein fix. I've got something good for my gut and I'm going to be good to go to my next meeting and it'll hold me over till I can have dinner." And that was a high hit life.
People love that spontaneous stuff. They love that. I remember doing that. It was before Facebook Live, so it was a YouTube video, and I posted it on YouTube. But I was out traveling with a friend, and we were in the middle of Nowheresville, Northern California, going back down to the airport. And we stopped at this little, you know, 7-Eleven type little small town grocery store. And he was like, okay, I'm going to take you around. What does Dr. Rita Marie eat when she goes to these little donkey places? And I went in there and I was like, you know, and I found an apple or I found an avocado. I mean, I just found a few things. Then I went back out to the car and he said, well, how are you going to eat that avocado? You don't have a knife. I went, oh, I didn't need a knife. And I just like ripped it open with my hands and I squeezed it out and put it on I think I had a nori sheet or something. And then, you know, I just made do. And it's like, your grocery stores are your best fast food restaurants. When you're on the road, you don't need to go to a restaurant. You go to a grocery store and you find what you can find that's real food, right? It makes sense. Yeah. Let's see. Janine, what using Sammy TMG? Okay, let me see. Let me go back a little because we missed. Okay, genetic testing, boomers. Susan got through module one. Lynn just put up the link to the nutrigenomics. Thank you. And Janine is finishing up CMDS. Lynn Rose with a B complex work as well. With a B complex for a elevated homocysteine, is that what you mean? Because I would say, in general, I'm not a big fan of taking B12 unless it's sublingual or topical. So usually a B complex is a capsule and it's not usually absorbed real well with people, especially they have low stomach acid. I would say, and there's also not the right amounts. So typically you can get something like homocystex from Seeking Health, but you have to make sure that they're okay with the methyls because it's methyls. Otherwise you can get a B minus from Seeking Health, which doesn't have the Bs. And then you can get the little droppers of the liposomal and just gradually build it up. You can also add the hydroxy or adenosyl because that won't affect the methyl backups. And if you know their genetics and they don't have COMTs, then you're fine with doing the methyls usually. Janine, what about using SAMe and TMG? I do those quite a bit with people. I rarely see problems. I did see somebody have a problem with the SAMe. And usually he says if the person, number one, if they have a COMT gene, which means that it's hard to get the methyl groups in without them backing up, but the SAMe somehow brings in, I'd have to look at the pathway to remember where, but brings into that pathway a little further down. So it's a way to bypass SAMe. TMG I'll often use if they have a problem with that, I remember the circle on this side, this one, BHMT. And if they have like a homozygous, a red snip there, I'll often use a TMG to try to push that way. I've seen people with really, like they've have homozygous on their folate, on their B12, and on their BHMT. And those are the people that are, it's so hard for them to do any kind of detoxification. They can't get rid of the metals. They can't get rid of the hormones. Everything is backed up. And those people are the true canaries in the coal mine. Because they have such problems with that. And you have to go very slowly with supplementation with those people, because it does, as much as you want to just give them everything to make everything work again, it usually backfires. Okay, so Lynn, I recommended people with high homocysteine should supplement with pre-methylated forms of B12, such as methylfolate. Yeah, those are definitely important, but again, you just have to watch the genetics. And I think a lot of those are in the various formulas, like Seeking Health has one called Homocystex, and then there's a couple of others. Oh, module 26 is already open. So I guess it's 27 that's going to be open tomorrow. Oh, yeah. Module 27 has 9 videos. So it's really broken out into small ones. We're probably eventually going to go back and break a lot of the others up from the longer videos into small ones. But module 27 on reproductive has a lot of videos. And we're going to be adding a section to yeah, so the videos, they were a little behind on the videos. So the videos are taking a little bit longer than we anticipated. So you've got slides and the videos should be up soon. Yeah, and the waiting for the transcript. Janine says, I ordered a combo of B6, P5B. Yeah, and that's a good thing, way to go too. I like to get the activated in there. When should I recheck my homocysteine? I would say give it 3 months and then check it. You could get results in as little as 6 weeks. I don't see the nutrigenomics test in there. Did you click that link, Lynn, and then log in? You have to log in to the Vibrant Living members site and then click that link that Lynn gave you, and that should take you there. And then there's the intro, and it goes through the first two of the modules in there should have everything you need to know about it. All right, let's see. How many milligrams do you advise for ox bile? I'd go slow with ox bile because you can get what's called a dumping syndrome. So it can cause them to get diarrhea. So you just have to go really slow. I'd start with whatever the lowest dose you can start with. And then just, you know, a little bit. If it causes some discomfort, some diarrhea, then I would open up the capsule. You can even buy some little capsules and open up one capsule and split half of it into the other and then save half of it for the next day. Oh, good. So you have the 125 milligrams. Yeah. So if you're not noticing a difference, then try increasing it. 500 is kind of common. So 125 is a nice small dose to try and just increase it. You don't see the nutrigenomics. I wonder if they, we should log in as one of the new people in and see if they have access to they should have gotten access to VLM modules as soon as they came in. But I haven't been in that campaign in a while. Okay, Valerie, question about pyloria. Can you open up your line?
Yes. I've been working on it for a couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
I've been taking P5P, 25 milligrams.
Mm-hmm.
And I was taking the Seeking Health Optimal Zinc. And then you'd been talking about the Good State Ionic Zinc, so I switched to that one.
Mm-hmm.
When I take that, it tastes very metallic to me. Now, is that one of the ones that if you have enough, it's going to taste metallic?
It's not.
Or is it going to taste
metallic? No, that's just going to always taste metallic. The one that you can use as a taster, they have to be a little bit more dilute. That one's pretty concentrated. The Premier Research Labs zinc assay, I think that Metagenics has one called Zinc Tally. And then the Body Bio has one that you can use as a taster.
Okay, as I'm working on this, I listened to Trudy Scott's talk yesterday, and I'm beginning to think I have started occasionally remembering dreams, but for the most part, I still don't remember much of my dreams.
Did you actually have the pyloria test, the cryptopyral test?
No, I did not.
I
took her
B6 and C. I would double it up to 50.
On the P5P?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was thinking, I also have some of the Designs for Health liquid vitamin B6. So I was thinking of adding that.
Yep, absolutely.
Is there any guidelines for how to do that? What's better to increase, the P5P or the straight B6? Or
is that one B6 straight or is it a combination?
This is a liquid. It's got...
P5P. I thought their liquid was P5P.
This is just a vitamin B6 liquid.
Okay.
It's got some P5P in it, and it also has the pyridoxine hydrochloride.
Okay. So how much P5P per serving?
It doesn't say. It lists 50 milligrams of the B6 as both.
Oh, as both.
Okay. It didn't break them out.
No. You could probably take a full serving of that, add to your other one, and just see how it goes. Because you can always, if you get a result like, hey, I start remembering my dreams vividly, you can just start backing it off a little bit and find the ideal dose.
Okay. But there's no other worries really of overdoing it.
500 milligrams is where they see like you could possibly get peripheral neuropathies. That's pretty high.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
It's got a wide range of safety.
Great. But I think the fact that I'm starting to remember some dreams and I'm actually sleeping better tells me that I'm on the right track.
Absolutely. And I've seen people go as high as like 60 to 90 on the zinc. So, okay. You know, but again, you don't have the testing done to know, but a lot of times it does take a while. And if it's, you know, anxiety, social anxiety, that kind of stuff, that you start to see a difference, like, wow, I just went to the grocery store and started talking to people and I didn't feel anxious. And you know what I mean? Little things like that can affect you.
Right. Right. It would be great if I could have some of those results.
Don't be surprised. Yeah.
I'll keep working on it.
And the thing about that is there's a genetic predisposition to that. So if you're building up the cryptopyrroles and, you know, people say, well, I don't want to have to take a supplement, but if you have to take a supplement because of a genetic thing that you can't get rid of a certain chemical, then you got to take a supplement.
Right. And one of Trudy's points was that all the nuts are high in copper.
Not all of them are, but I know macadamia nuts are especially high.
She mentioned almonds as well.
Almonds might be, yeah. I mean, it's just a matter of getting enough and you know, balancing it. I'm always looking when I eat my food. I'm looking at micronutrients. So I'm picking a handful of pumpkin seeds to go with my macadamia nuts, you know, and some Brazil nuts because of the selenium. So you always start thinking in terms of balance because anything you do too much of is going to throw you off.
Right, right. Yeah. Great. Thank you very much. Sure. I'll keep experimenting.
Yeah. There's no place to log in. Lynn, instead of clicking that link that Lynn gave you, Lynn, just go to vibrantlivingmembers.com and that should give you the login area. Then you have to log in and then you click. Okay. Try that and let us know how that goes. And then otherwise, if you still can't, we'll log in as you. There's no place to log in. Yeah. You want to share your screen? Can you share your screen? Just hit share screen at the bottom. This might be good for everybody to know how to get to that stuff. Yeah, share your screen and unmute yourself. Where are you? There he is. There she is. Can you share your screen, Lynn?
Okay, how do I do that?
Oh, take your mouse and scroll it to the bottom of the screen, and you should see this band of little options like mute and start video, stop video, and whatnot.
I did that.
And click. There should be one that says share screen. It's like a green rectangle with an arrow going up.
Okay, I have it on mine, so I don't know why it's not sharing on yours.
No, click that share screen button.
I did.
Why are we not seeing it?
Click it again.
Well, when you do. Yips. There it goes. There it goes. Okay. See this button over here? See the arrow up there?
Yes.
Click that. Okay. You're logged in. Okay, Lynn. Okay. So scroll down so I can see what's down below under your membership dashboards.
How far?
And I don't see any. Wait.
Yeah. I already logged in as her and I've sent a note to Doreen.
Yeah, so we'll have to look to see if that's true of everybody because it's been a month, right? So even if it's a month of delay, sometimes some of the things they delay a month, but it should have been given.
Well, I had gone under the lab testing at some point, but I didn't see that nutrigenomics.
Yeah, well, you would have had the lab testing from Grand. So you're seeing Grand here, right?
Yeah.
Digestion. Yeah, whoops, keep going. Yeah, there. You got Grand, you got Green Cleanse. You got all those things. Yeah, so we'll just have to look at it.
Very slow.
Yeah. Yeah, no, Grand is fine. I was just saying, the new site is so much faster, and we're just doing some final testing, and it should be open real soon.
Okay. So there's so many places to go on here.
No. There should be. It should say Nutrigenomics on the side, but you also should have access to all the others, too. Okay. So, yeah, we'll look and see what happened and where that's supposed to happen.
How do I get back out of here?
Stop share. There you go. Great. All right. That's probably going to be true of everybody else like Janine and everybody else that just joined. Anybody else that's been in for a while, Cock or Brandon or Janet, you want to look to see if you have the nutrigenomics?
Yes, my access is working well.
You have access. Okay. So it's just the new folks. There's something that didn't get set that should have. Okay. Got it. Thank you. Okay. Janine, yeah, it's not on yours either. So it sounds like it's anybody that just recently signed up. So we'll have to find out what was required that was missing. Okay, great. Thank you. Anybody else? Questions, comments? Is this helpful? Did anybody learn anything tonight? Yeah? Yes? Okay, good. All right, well, we have other times for getting together this week. I'm just going to pull up my calendar. We have Thursday, I know, is it Thursday? I think it's Thursday. We're having the homeotherapeutics or something. Wow, why is my calendar not coming up?
Can I share a success?
Oh, please.
So this weekend when I was at the training out in California,
yep,
one of the young women had come to me and shoots because apparently I'm the kind of person you could show pictures of your poop to. and she was concerned because there was blood coming out with it.
Oh.
And so she had gone to the emergency room and everything and they couldn't find anything. So she was asking me questions. The long and short of the whole thing is she is now 100% committed to being gluten-free. Prior to this, she's like, you know, I'm probably 80%. And I explained to her why there is no 80%. And I was out to lunch with her and a few other people. And she said, I am now 100% gluten-free. And everybody's like, well, why would you do that? So now I have converted a whole bunch of other people to why it's important to be 100% gluten-free. So
good for you.
Yeah. Good. I was really happy about that.
A nice tribute to your coaching abilities, right? That that people come to you with questions, they show you your poop, so there's a level of trust there.
Apparently.
That they're willing to listen. So thank you, Rick. That's great.
Yeah, I was very happy.
So Susan asked, is the Thursday night training going to be recorded? I will tell you, everything gets recorded, and the only time we don't have a recording is if Mercury retrograde gets in the way and something booey happens. But yes, we will record it. Tomorrow I've got the post-Shine Nutrigenomics Conference training, so we're going to do that tomorrow, so we'll go into more details on that. The more you hear about the nutrigenomics, the more it sinks in. So some of it you may say, oh, I've heard that before, and others you say not, but it just helps to hear it over and over. The reason I've really gotten to the point, I wouldn't say of mastery of it, but of really feeling comfortable with the material, is that I've studied it and listened and looked at it and explained it over and over and over again. So yes, we will. The homeopathic is, let's see. So tomorrow is the nutrigenomics. And then Wednesday is, let's see. Which day is Wednesday?
It's Scylla.
Wednesday is the one with Celia, and that's the homeotherapeutics or homeoprophylaxis. There's also a couple of other calls that day for Vital. If you guys want to come, you're totally welcome. There's the Vital Health topic where we're going to talk about flu remedies for colds and flus, natural remedies, Vital Q&A in the evening. On Thursday, we have our INE office hours. And we're having a kind of a public thing on practice success strategies. So you guys can come in and listen to that too. Some of it will be similar to some of the stuff I did at Shine, but then, you know, every time I do something, it's a little bit different. And so I always surprise myself. So I had to get to work on creating these presentations. So that's it. And then we'll be taking a break. Oh, and then Saturday we have the Vital Healing Kitchen.
I was going to say, and Scott's going to be on there, isn't he?
What's that?
You said Scott's going to make some of his creations too, along with you.
I'm hoping, but he was talking about, he suddenly found out that his martial arts studio is having a Christmas party. So I don't know what.
Oh, that's convenient.
I'm hoping that he's in there, but otherwise I'll make the cheesecake that he made. So that's,
you two are just so cute in the kitchen though.
I know. I like when he does it with me. I like it. So that, anyway, we're doing that on Saturday, and then that's it. There will be no more. That's it before Christmas, and there'll be no more stuff.
I would like to hear what other people are doing too, because I see like Maria's doing her challenge. Are other people doing things? Because I like to go and support them, so that's why I go and listen to Maria's lives, and when people have webinars, I like to go on and support them and then see how they do it and learn from them too. So
yeah, well, I'd love that. And in fact, I would recommend that what we do is in the Facebook group, if you have a particular Facebook group or your Facebook page, post it in our Facebook group so that we can all like your pages. And if you have a Twitter or whatever, just put all your social media stuff in there. And that's, we'll like each other's stuff. YouTube channel, if you have one, we'll subscribe. So I think if we all support each other, you can subscribe to everybody's stuff. And you learn a lot from each other, and it's a good support. So
yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Susan said, I mapped out my week for calls. Okay, good. Yeah, and it's not usual that we have this much in 1 week, but it's just the way it goes. Let's see. Okay, I don't have. Okay, logged in as you. I see that. Homeopathic is tomorrow, is Wednesday. And Susan says, I need lots of repetition. You and me both. I have learned some herbal from a guy named Paul Bergner. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. He's a very, very good, very earthy kind of herbalist, but he's into earthy, but he's also into the biochemistry. And I really like listening to him. And I have some of his cassette tapes. That'll show you how old they are. I have some of his cassettes, and I still have a car that has a cassette player in it. And I have literally listened to those over and over and over. And every time I listen to them, I'll go, wow, when did they add that? I don't remember that being there last time. Because it's just so much. When you're learning new, it is so much the first time. And the second time you catch a little bit more. The third time you catch a little bit more. And so it's really good to listen to them again. See you tomorrow, Janine. Yeah. All right, everybody. Are they still available? Yeah, if you have a cassette player, you can find them. He probably has them on CDs now. So, yeah. You do. Well, maybe when you come over, I'll introduce you to my closet next time you come to our potluck. Lynn lives in Austin. You can go into my cassette closet. You'll see it's full of all kinds of cassette courses. And if you want to borrow any, you can. All right, everybody. Type out his name. Sure. Paul Bergner. P-A-U-L-P-E-R.
I put his website on there.
Oh, good. Thank you. There you go. All right, everybody. Take care. We'll talk to you soon. We'll see you throughout the rest of the week, hopefully. Bye. I unmuted, so everybody can say goodbye.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.